You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt podcast here with William Hill, Dave Kellner, Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern with you on this Friday morning to preview all 10 Premier League games this weekend. Before we get stuck into the matches, Mr. Phelps, welcome along.
Thank you. Yep. I didn't know if you were going to congratulate me on my Molde versus Celtic over 2.5 nap in the midweek edition of the Punt.
We never talk about midweek edition of the Punt on the weekend edition. Yeah. They're two completely separate entities.
Fine. Okay.
But congratulations to Mr. McGovern. Derek, one of those bets of the season was bound to land eventually. And it came last week with Stoke.
Yes, indeed. A lesser man would gloat, but me? No, I wouldn't do such a thing. The only winner in three last week, mine, 3-1. And you should, I was setting off air, you should quadruple the price. There was such confidence behind it. Anybody listening to the podcast who didn't back Stoke after what I said last week, well, didn't listen to the podcast, basically. They were absolute nailed on it. 3-1. Was it 3-1 or 7-4?
It was. I thought it was 3-1.
Yeah,
there,
3-1.
So we'll give you
we'll give you that. Yeah, we'll give you 3. So generous.
Fantastic.
Like that.
And although it was like they scored in the third minute and then it was 1-0, it sounds as though they hung on to the grim life, but they never looked like conceding. It's the most comfortable 1-0 victory you're ever going to see.
Good stuff. Thank you, Mr. McGovern. Welcome along. We start with Arsenal versus Everton. Saturday, 5:30 p.m. As always, we'll start with the televised matches. Arsenal 2-5 to win this one. The draw is 7-2, and Everton in the market at 11-2. Headline offers: Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win is 6-4. Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win is in the betting at 16-1. Arsenal, Lee, coming to this off the back of that incredible victory against Bayern Munich on Tuesday night. I wonder whether that will affect them positively or adversely in this game, because it could be a letdown spot for Arsenal. The high of Tuesday night may be filtering through to Saturday evening, but they're in good form at the moment.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? I don't think it'll. I don't think there'll be too much of a lag. I understand what you mean, but you know, I think if it was a 12:45 game, maybe we'd see that. We tend to see some quite lazy games, don't we, at 12:45. But the fact that this is a tea time kickoff, Arsenal second in the table, just 2 points off Man City, and like you say, in really good nick. Just that that defeat to Olympiacos in the last six, so going well, scoring goals. And I think the 2-0, it wasn't that it flattered them particularly, but I thought looking at that game that Arsenal, they had everything to play for, and it was a must-win against a Bayern Munich team who didn't need to win. And you know, if Derek had probably been previewing that match, he might have said as much. You know, you always have to look at the team who haven't got as much to play for. Bayern Munich will win that Champions League group in their sleep. That result won't matter to them. So Arsenal were going full throttle there and deservedly got the win. Everton are an interesting team. They're unbeaten away from home so far in the Premier League. They're not pulling up any trees. The game last week was a real strange one for them. Obviously, the sad news that the former manager and player Howard Kendall had died seemed to really hit the team and hit the crowd as well. And Man United kind of took advantage of that and came out of the traps and caught them cold. But look, you know, their away performances, not much to be disappointed about. That they won 3-2 at West Brom. They'd be disappointed to concede two, but came back from two down and won that one. Drew at Spurs, drew at Swansea, beat Southampton 3-0. So, you know, I think that they're going along quite nicely. The draw's been a real big player in this match recently. Everton haven't got a great record against Arsenal, but in recent times, it's been hard to separate the two of them. I'm wondering about Sanchez. Has been, you know, a bit of a cash cow for me. I've really enjoyed backing him. But I'm wondering if he might. There's some rumours that he might be rested here, given all the football that he's been playing. They've got the likes of Oxlade-Chamberlain to bring in. So you might see something like an Oxlade-Chamberlain, Ozil, Walcott, Giroud maybe even up front as well. If Sanchez doesn't play, I quite like the draw here. I think, you know, I can think see Everton really shutting up shop and trying to get the draw. 7-2, the price of the draw. It looks quite a big price to me. Then the risk is if Sanchez plays, I think they'll have a little bit too much for Everton, Arsenal. But look, I can't back them at 2-5. I think they're way too short. I'm half tempted to go for 11-2 Everton, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to go for the Arsenal win by a single goal. Again, it's a little bit confusing, this. Pre-match, you have to play the match handicap. So you go to handicaps, it's the tie. Arsenal minus a goal versus Everton plus a goal, 14-5. That means Arsenal will win by a single goal. If you're doing it in play, you can actually back that market. Winning margin, one goal. Mm. So Arsenal to win by a single goal, whether it be 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, etc.
Derek, Arsenal have lost just one of the last 16 against Everton, winning 9 of them. But in recent times, as Lee referenced, 4 of the games have ended 1-1 in the last 6 in the Premier League between these two sides. The draw does look at a big price at 7-2.
Massively big price. I mean, the 2-5 Arsenal is crazy, and here's why. A week ago, Chelsea at home to Aston Villa with roughly the same price, 4-11. Man City at home to Bournemouth, 4-11. Now, Arsenal are taking on a tidy side like Everton and the same odds. It's crazy. It's a massive overreaction to what happened in midweek and to a lesser extent what happened with Everton against Man United last week. Arsenal were flattered by that result. I mean, I watched that game, and Bayern Munich, without their two best players, outclassed Arsenal for long periods. But they played into Arsenal's hands, having all that possession. And when you've got Theo Walcott up front, he's only in the team to catch teams on the break. It won't be like that this weekend. Everton will camp out at the back, because that's what they do at Arsenal. And I think 7-2 for the draw is a big price. I mean, you can excuse Everton's performance against Man United last week, because what Lee mentioned about the death of Howard Kendall beforehand, normally I would say, well, come on, that's ridiculous. These are highly paid professional footballers. It shouldn't matter once the whistle goes for the kickoff. It shouldn't matter. But it hit the crowd, and maybe that transmitted itself to the players. I don't know, but it was a very lethargic, somber Everton performance. I'm willing to excuse that. I think they're a very tidy side, Everton, and they're being insulted with these kind of prices. I've been looking for the shade of value in this game, and you know what? I can see both teams to score. No is 11-10. I like the look of that strongly. If you want to play, be a little bit more intrepid, Everton with a goal start at 15-8. But the most intrepid of all, 7-2 the draw. I wouldn't argue with any of those bets. I don't see Arsenal being 2-5 pokes here, not in a month of Sundays.
That plus one, 15-8 Everton. It looks attractive.
Yeah, it does look. I mean, kind of almost arguing against myself, but I think I like that, and I like the Arsenal to win by a single goal. Draw no bet. Everton's a big price as well. Draw no bet, 9-2. Wow, it's a big price when the draw is such a big player, I think. But I'll stick with Arsenal just to scrape it by a single goal.
On to Sunday's live matches then, 3 of them in total here. And we start off at midday with the Tyne Wear Derby. Sunderland 11-8 to win this game. The draw 11-5. And Newcastle 9-5. Headline offers, Stephen Fletcher to score and Sunderland to win is 4-1. Jorginho Wijnaldum to score and Newcastle to win in the market at 5-1. Derek, both teams scrapping for their lives at the moment. Sunderland just 3 points. And Sam Allardyce didn't manage to get anything from his first game in charge. But there was a serious upturn for Newcastle last week. Hit 6 against Norwich at St James's Park. Sunderland, though, great record in this tie in recent years. They've won the last 5 Tyne Wear derbies, which is incredible, really.
They get to beat them tomorrow. They get to keep them, I think. A week after losing 6-1, Newcastle win 6-2. Just goes to show what a crazy sport tennis is. It's just mad. They scored as many goals against Norwich last week as they'd scored in 8 previous Premier League games in Newcastle. I mean, how do you predict that kind of thing? I mean, at least if you were a Norwich fan, at least you could keep count of Newcastle's goals on the fingers of one hand. So there was a crumb of comfort for them. The Sunderland record against Newcastle doesn't make any sense. I mean, Newcastle, well, it's a unique record Newcastle go into the match with. They're the only team in the Premier League that can't beat Sunderland. You can't back the Black Cats, because I've seen enough of them to know that they are crap. They are a crap side. And the introduction of Sam Allardyce, in my eyes, is only going to make them crapper. I'm going to go for Newcastle here, because I'm not getting overawed by what happened last week against Norwich. It was a crazy game, and you know, Norwich could easily have won that game. They lost 6-2. They could easily have won it, and they basically gift wrapped three or four goals to Newcastle. So I'm not expecting a repeat of that. You know, no Sam Allardyce side is going to ship 6. But on recent form, I mean, the Arsenal Everton game, those odds were pretty much framed on recent form. Well, on recent form here, Newcastle had to win, and you know. Come on, if you're Sunderland, you can't in a derby, win six matches on the run against your most bitter opponents, you know, unless you're Liverpool against Everton. It's going to be a Newcastle win, this.
At 9-5, Newcastle to win the game. Looking at the opportunity for goals here, Lee, as well, from a personal perspective, over 2.5 goals is 19-20. These two sides allowed the most shots on target by opponents this year, respectively. Yeah. Yeah. They're 1-2 in that particular table. Sunderland, though, on the longest run without a win in the Premier League. They've gone 12 games now. They've drawn 5 and lost 7 of those. I actually can see goals here in this one, Lee. What do you reckon?
I was looking at the opposite.
Were you?
But there's no real reason to think that, other than the fact that when you watch these games, they tend to... I know there was that 3-0 at St James's Park in 2014. But they tend to be tight games. You know, they tend to be kind of nervy almost as well. And I think this one will be quite nervy. You know, neither team go into this wanting to lose. You know, no one goes into it thinking we're going to pace the other ones here. Because despite the fact that they've just, you know, scored 6, I think Newcastle will still kind of, you know, teetering a little bit. You know, there's no way that will have breathed enough confidence back into them to go to Sunderland and, you know, and try and hammer them. It's very hard to put up an argument for Sunderland, isn't it? Despite that, you know, great record that they've got. You know, why is this going to be the game that they win? You know, 11-8. Another two win results make much appeal, but I do like the draw. I think it's one of those games where if we get to kind of the 60th minute mark and it's still a draw, I think both will start to settle for it as well. You know, the fans, you don't have to worry too much about the fans. They'll be so, you know, they'll be so occupied baiting each other. That, you know, I don't think they'll get onto the players' backs either. So I think that's one less thing that Sunderland have to worry about, because, you know, the crowd is on the edge of turning, even with the new manager there. And this is his first match in charge at home, remember, as well, for Big Sam. So, you know, there's lots going on in this match, but I think the football might come a little bit secondary and it might be a bit of a drab encounter. So I'm going to go for a draw and under 2.5 goals. I think it'll be a 0-0 or a 1-1, personally. So I'd be playing under 2.5 in answer to your original question. I know it seems daft, given what we've said, but I think, you know, both will be really on the metal, defensively strong, first and foremost here.
If you're looking at draw and under 2.5 goals, 16-5 draw and under 2.5 in the Time Weir Derby. Midday kickoff on Sunday. The other derby on Sunday is the Manchester one. Manchester United 8-5. The draw 12-5. Man City 13-8. Kickoff 2:05 p.m. And the headline offers Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win is 9-2. Wilfred Bony to score and Man City to win in the market at 5-1. Not much, Lee, to choose between the two sides as far as price is concerned, but Manchester City have won 6 of the last 8 Manchester derbies in the league. Prior to that, they'd only won 6 of the previous 42, so this fixture has turned on its head in recent times. None of the last 12 Manchester derbies in all competitions have ended in a draw as well, so it's usually one or the other in this one.
Yeah, indeed. Look, whatever happens in this, there's one man who I'm backing here, Kevin De Bruyne. He just seems to have been everywhere this week. Everyone's been talking about him. The fact that they might even push him up front, that they're talking about, you know, put him even further forward than Sterling. I mean, I thought Boney was particularly poor in the week. I thought he looked like he's playing... He can't play at the level that City are playing at in the Champions League to me. And, you know, I think they missed Aguero. They got the job done in the end, of course. But, I think De Bruyne at 19-10. We were talking about him last week, I think, and the price wasn't quite big enough. The price wasn't quite big enough in midweek in the Champions League for me to back him any time. But when you're talking about 2-1 for a player of his ability who can break from midfield if he doesn't play further up front, I think he's a fantastic player. You know, the rave reviews he's been getting, every good judge who watches him is glowing about his ability. I was watching the Stoke win on Monday night. Gary Neville was just saying, like, every time this guy gets the ball, he knows he can find his colleague. So, you know, that's why Sterling can make those runs. Such great runs. He knows, I'll run, he will find me. And I think at 19-10, he's the sort of player as well. I think he can make himself a little bit of a hero here. I think City at 13-8 are a good price as well, by the way. I'm still not convinced. I still don't know what I'm watching when I watch Man United. I still don't quite know what this team is. They're getting better, slowly but surely. They dug a draw out of the CSKA Moscow game, which is great. Obviously, that win at Everton. You know, I'm not decrying them, but I just don't have the confidence to look at them and think, yeah, I know what this Manchester United Gate team is. I know how they're going to approach this game. I think City can sit back here and you know and play their own game, and let's see what United do. Games at United: 4-2, 3-0 to City, 2-1 to City as well. So lots of goals in this fixture over the past few seasons. There was a 6-1, of course, famously back in 2011. So, you know, you're over 2.5. They seldom seem to be cagey affairs, these Manchester derbies. You know, and I know there was a 1-0 at City last year when Aguero scored the winner. But that 4-2 in Van Gaal's first Old Trafford Manchester derby, same managers, largely the same players, with the addition of De Bruyne and a few on the United side. So, you know, I think goals are a must here as well.
Over 2.5 goals is 8-11. You mentioned, Lee, the addition of De Bruyne. But Derek, Sergio Aguero's out for this game. He's been influential in recent Manchester derbies and likely to be without David Silva as well. So a couple of notable injury concerns for City.
I mean, it's just as well they've got De Bruyne, because all of a sudden City's team and squad is looking very ordinary. It's De Bruyne that's lighting them up at the moment. I mean, I used to watch him at Chelsea, or the rare occasions he got a game for Chelsea, and I couldn't see anything in it. And then, all of a sudden City are paying like a squillion for him. I'm thinking, what kind of improvements has this guy shown? Well, he's shown massive improvement, because what Lee says is right. Every time I've watched him, I've been thinking, Jesus, what a player. And he's reminded me of Hazard when he first came into the Chelsea side, and more so last season. He seems head and shoulders above everything that's on the park right now. And that goal he scored midweek, the last-minute goal for City against Sevilla, the defenders were given stick for that, but that was a masterful goal. And as soon as he got the ball, that was the thing. More, you knew he was going to score. As soon as he got that ball, it was like Aguero in that position. I knew he was going to score. Fantastic goal, fantastic player. And if City win this game, he'll be the reason for it, because right now he's on a different planet. That said, 13-8 is mighty sure, because you look what else is around in a City team right now, and I'm failing to. It doesn't set my pulse racing without Aguero and Silva. Sterling's blowing hot and cold. I don't think he's settled in yet. You know, blistering pace, we all know that, but not quite at it yet. But Lee, everything Lee says about Man United, I agree with too. You just don't know what you're going to get from United. I'm still not impressed by them. Here they are going for the title, doing well in Europe, and I'm just not impressed by them. I really don't know what to think about this game, but the draw is the biggest price by miles. There hasn't been one in 12 matches. Come on. You know, that's a statistical blip. That's got to end. I'm going to go for the draw here, only because I just can't find enough evidence to back either side at these prices.
12-5 if you fancy the draw in the Manchester derby. Manchester United 8-5 to win the game. The draw 12-5. Oh, City 13-8.
Did you see the story about Bastian Schweinsteiger this week?
Yeah, it's
that's the best story of the week, that, isn't it? they weren't sure it was Schweinsteiger until one of the optional extras was a cart horse, and then that's it. It was definitely him.
No, fantastic. That's got to be the story of the year so far in footballing circles.
It's
fantastic.
A story of all times.
Yeah, it's a belter, an absolute belter. Let's talk about your Liverpool side, Derek, next. Liverpool versus Southampton, 4:15 PM kickoff Sunday afternoon. Liverpool 10-11, the draw 23-10, Southampton 11-4. Both these sides, Derek, at the moment locked together in the league on 13 points. Couple of decent draws for Liverpool, back-to-back at Goodison and at Spurs. But on Thursday night against Rubin Kazan, couldn't put that team away. They had 10 men for a large period of that game, and Liverpool failed to get the win. They look, to coin one of your phrases here, Derek, they look criminally short, Liverpool at 10-11.
Well, that's it. The only reason they're odds on is for what? Well, one reason is it Herr Klopp. If he wasn't managing, Rodgers was still manager. You know, they'd be odds against probably. And the way they played on Thursday, it looked like Rodgers was still manager. I mean, you mentioned the other two. This is a derby match as well, isn't it? Southampton rejects versus Southampton. I mean, there were so many ex-Saints at Liverpool for this fixture a year ago. The left back was Francis of Assisi. I don't know. They've done nothing. I mean, they picked all their best players and they finished 2 points ahead of Southampton. So it hasn't worked, has it? That policy of turning them into the Southampton of the North, Northampton, just hasn't worked. You can't back Liverpool, can you, at odds on? It's just a crazy price. Because how many times have they let odds on backers down recently, principally in the Europa League? They've been awful. You just wonder what's... You know, at the early days, you know, but Klopp doesn't seem to have done too much for them, does he? I mean, he puts great emphasis on his players' diets and makes them train longer and harder. Well, that's not exactly rocket science, but it is probably rocket salad. I'm not having them at the moment. I just can't back them at our odds on. I think Southampton, it goes against the grain to back Southampton here at about 3-1, because when they won here 2 seasons ago, they were 5-1. But it doesn't go against logic, because this Liverpool side are there for the taking right now. In fact, these two sides are the two sides most overrated by the Hill's odds compilers I've found over the last, 12 or 18 months. But Liverpool are odds on. It's basically a green light for punters. Lump on the opponents, and I'll be doing that this weekend.
Southampton 11-4 for Derek. I think we saw Liverpool in that first game in charge against Spurs, that first half an hour play with a much higher intensity under Jurgen Klopp. It's whether or not they can continue that for 90 minutes in a match.
Yeah, and it's all right. It's all right running, but you kind of coming up against a team who already kind of employ those sort of tactics. You know, they'll chase you down, Southampton. You know, they'll make it hard for you. So you wonder. In a sense, I feel like Liverpool, obviously that they've got aspirations to be a bigger and better team than Southampton, but I feel like Southampton are a more settled plan than Liverpool are at the moment. And you know, and Klopp, it's interesting to note whether Klopp's actually got the players he needs to implement the system that he's got. You know, he's obviously still got quite a lot of injury problems. I mean, Benteke coming back will be massive for them. You know, he came on, didn't he, against Kazan in that... And Derek mentioned about the Europa League. Jeez! You know, I think I've put them up to win -1 against Sion and Ruben Kazan now, both at home, and been chinned twice. So, you know, it's the last time I'll be doing that until next home game in Europa League. look, there's nothing to dislike about Southampton. Unbeaten away from home this season. Now, admittedly, they've only been to Newcastle, Watford, West Brom and got draws, but then they went to Chelsea and won. You know, I feel like Southampton, that kind of team, who are going to come to town and just almost challenge you. Yeah, go on then. Let's see what you've got. We'll be here. We'll just stay here. You know, we'll take a draw all day long.
It's a good matchup for them against the top team.
Well, you know, they can kind of go in there without any pressure on their shoulders and sit in there, you know, and wait. And if there's a mistake, they're the kind of team that will punish you for it. If not, they'll happily, you know, grind out a draw and everyone goes home relatively happy. You know, Liverpool aren't pulling up any trees. As you said, this is the first home game for Klopp, of course. So I didn't notice what the crowd was last night, Derek, and how vociferous the support was for Liverpool at home. But I'm guessing that even though it was Klopp's first home game in charge, I'm guessing this will be a better atmosphere on a Sunday afternoon than it would have been on a Thursday night for Ruben Kazan.
Well, no. I mean, the atmosphere, as it's in, that was up before the game. It was fantastic.
It was like
a big European night of all. But after about 5 or 10 minutes, it went to what it normally is, dire.
Yeah. I don't see that much improvement in Liverpool. Same as Derek. So, you know, that leads me to think I can't be backing them at odds on, even though it is only 10-11. I'm going to play another draw here, 23-10. I think it'll be a slow process as under Klopp, and I think it'll take him time to get. I think he needs Henderson back in the team. I think he needs some of his big guns back in the team. Look, if Sturridge and Benteke suddenly, you know, rock up and they're both in, you know, fit and in form, that's a different matter. But if they're not both in the team, then I'd be going for a draw and a toothless Liverpool.
The draw 23-10. Let's have a look at the non-televised games this weekend. We'll start with Leicester versus Crystal Palace. Leicester 6-5 to win this one. The draws in the market at 23-10 and Crystal Palace 2-1. Headline offers: Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win is 7-2. Yannick Bolasie to score and Crystal Palace to win at 6-1. This should be pretty entertaining, this one. And if you're looking at the headline offers, that Jamie Vardy offer looks decent. 7-2 Vardy to score and Leicester to win. If you fancy Leicester, he's looking to become the fifth different English player to score in 7 successive Premier League games. Who are the other 4?
Shearer.
Yeah, that's one.
I wasn't listening to the question. What was the question?
The question is, looking to become the fifth different English player to score in 7 successive Premier League games.
Oh, okay.
Sturridge is one, isn't it?
Like, Sturridge is one.
Ian Wright.
He's got 8. Ian Wright's one. You're just missing one, chaps. I will reveal this answer at the end of the podcast as well.
Thierry Henry.
This time. No, it's not. He's
I'll
not
tell
English.
You who it is because I'm looking at it here now.
Go on, Derek.
Is it an option?
Mark Steen.
We'd have been here all day.
You would have been here all day. That's why I was going to reveal it at the end. Lee, what do you make to the game? Leicester, Crystal Palace.
All over Palace. Absolutely. This is one of my strongest bets of the weekend. You know, we know what Palace are like away from home. I think, you know, and I know we kind of said, if we roll back a few weeks, you know, we were kind of talking about, you know, can they do it? Will they do it against all kinds of teams? They've shown that they will. You know, they went to Chelsea and won. All right, they lost against Tottenham, but Tottenham don't come out at you. You know, you need a team who comes out. I doubted whether they'd be able to do it against Watford if Watford didn't actually attack them. Leicester will attack them. You know, one thing we know about Leicester at home is they're going to have a go. I mean, look at the score lines that they've got in their home games so far. 4 against Sunderland, scored 1 against Tottenham, 3 against Villa, 2 against West Ham in the Cup, and 2 against Arsenal in a 5-2 defeat. Crystal Palace to win at 2-1. It's good. I like it. Crystal Palace to win and both teams to score. 9-2. Wow. What about this one for a Bobby Dazzle as well? Crystal Palace to win and Jamie Vardy to score. Anytime. 11-1.
Yep.
I'm on that.
Wow.
I'm on it. I'm on it.
I might nap that.
That will happen. This is such an easy fix to predict. That's exactly what will happen. If Palace will win, that's the first certainty. Vardy will score, that's the second. And obviously Palace will have to score two as well. So, yeah, that's it. 11-1. It basically should be odds on.
I'd love to nap that, but I don't think I've got the balls.
Palace have won 9 of their last 12 away from home in the Premier League, Derek. Is this a no-brainer, this one?
Yeah, it is a no-brainer. I mean, I keep expecting the wheels to fall off Leicester, and you know, for the first 30 minutes of games, they do. And then they suddenly screw back on again tight. You know, it's going to fall off sooner or later. But you don't have to in this game to lose this one. I mean, it's not at the moment, it's no disgrace for anybody to lose at home to Palace. I keep saying bookies sooner or later are going to realise, you know, because you've got a set formula, haven't you? A team away from home, obviously, they're a much bigger price than he would be at home. But it should be the opposite with Palace, and yet it isn't. They're going to win. 2-1 is giving money away.
On to Norwich versus West Brom. Norwich 19-20 to win this game. The draw 11-5, West Brom 14-5. Headline offers, Nathan Redmond to score and Norwich to win is 9-2. Saido Berahino to score and West Brom to win in the market at 7-1. Derek, we've heard many people waxing lyrical about Alex Neil's influence this season, but following defeats against Leicester and last week's capitulation against Newcastle, 16th in the league, Norwich, only got 9 points from 9 Premier League games. They're in trouble.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, Leicester and Newcastle, maybe not so much Leicester. It would be an insult to say you'd fancy yourself 3 points there the way Leicester are playing, but Newcastle, they were all at sea, and then they go and chip 6 goals at them. Norwich are a side there for the taking right now. I mean, I hate packing West Brom away from home because you have to, you know, to factor in the Tony Pulis effect, the fact that they hardly attack away from home. But you've got to attack Norwich because that defence looks awful. And, you know, I think West Brom, there's not much to choose between these two sides, I don't think. Play this on neutral ground and you know 10 times and you probably end up 5, you know, you wouldn't know who would be 3 draws, 3 wins for the away team, 3 for the home team or whatever.
To count to 10 then, Derek.
Let me go back to that one. I really don't know what to think about this picture. All I would know is that West Brom are 11-4 despite the Tony Pulis effect. The fact that he doesn't attack away from home, they're too big. West Brom 11-4. Norwich have been chipping goal. When you concede 6 goals against Newcastle, you know that something isn't right. And the odds here, another thing that isn't right are the odds. West Brom are too big at 11-4. If I was Tony Pulis, yeah, I know that he's made his name on getting nil, you know, getting a nil scoreline away from home against them. But you've got to think the best policy against Norwich these days is to attack them. Look on the evidence of last week. So I'm going to go for West Brom at 11-4.
West Brom, the selection for Derek. And as I mentioned before, Norwich, only 9 points from 9 games. They've conceded more goals than any other side in the Premier League this season, 20 in total. And they're just one of 3 clubs yet to keep a clean sheet. So things going wrong at Norwich at the moment.
But, you know, one thing Derek always says, and he's right about this, is that one thing that you do get with Premier League teams, when they've been on the end of a shellacking, they don't have, you know, turn in a very resolute performance, and I think that's what we'll get from Norwich. I don't think we'll see a kind of a gung-ho performance here. I think it's like, look, we've been humbled here. We've let six into a team who were struggling for their lives. Let's now. I know we're at home, but we're going to have a right old go at keeping this one tight. You know, I think they'll batten down the hatches here, Norwich. Pulis doesn't need any encouragement to batten. His hatches are permanently battened down, aren't they, Pulis? And I know what Derek's saying, but I think Pulis takes the long view of these kind of things and thinks, right, yeah, we're on 11 points. We can go there and try and win the game. We might get away with a draw. We might get beaten, on any given day. And then we won't have a point. If we go there and do what I know we can do, we will get a point. Especially given, if I'm right, Norwich's wariness of going forward this time. So I'm gonna play a low scoring draw here. Don't forget these two played each other a few weeks ago. 3-0 it finished to Norwich in the League Cup. Wasn't much changed at West Brom team though. There were quite a few changes there in their lineup. So I'd expect them to be stronger there. And again, that chastening experience of losing 3-0 might just be fresh in their minds as to how they need to keep it tight. So yeah, I'm looking at a low scoring draw. So I'll go for the draw and under 2.5. In this one, that price is.
It is the drawn under 2.5 goals, 3-1, 3-1
nicely
for the drawn under 2.5 goals in that one. On to the action at Upton Park, West Ham versus Chelsea. Should be a good game this one. West Ham 11-4, the draw 13-5, and Chelsea 5-6. Headline offers here: Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win is 8-1. Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win in the market at 3-1. West Ham have just won one of their last 18 Premier League London derbies against Chelsea. They've lost 14 of those, but this is a very different season for West Ham. Best ever start to the Premier League season, and 6 points ahead of Chelsea in the league as well. We have, I think, seen in the last couple of games Chelsea starting to react to Jose Mourinho's urgings. They've kept a couple of clean sheets. That draw, 0-0 draw against Dinamo Kiev, arguably unlucky not to win that game midweek in the Champions League. But West Ham 11-4 to win this one, just a shade under 3-1 given their start to the season.
Yeah, but it's not at home where they do their best work, is it? As we well know, you look at the results this season: lost 2-1 to Leicester, 4-3 to Bournemouth, did beat Newcastle, and he drew 2-2 with Norwich. You know, letting goals in against these clubs, they are scoring goals themselves though, as I've listed there. So you know but I couldn't be. It's an attractive looking price, but I think the bookies would be more than happy for you to back West Ham.
Yes,
this weekend.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, and look, I haven't. It's hard to say that they're turning a corner. The pundits say they're turning a corner and that they're starting to look more solid. And we've said time and time again, when you start to see the evidence of Chelsea turning the corner, it'll be when they stop conceding goals. You know, it's no great surprise. And what they do against West Ham is they rarely concede goals. You know, look at the winter nils. Won away at West Ham 1-0. Home 2-0. It was 0-0 the season before that at Stamford Bridge. 3-0 at West Ham. 2-0 at West Ham. There was a 3-1 West Ham win the season before that back in 2012. But, you know, by and large, over the last couple of seasons, you're looking at Chelsea winter nils. I've been stung a few times already, and I don't go into this easily. But I think Chelsea winning under 2.5. I know I've played this a lot this season, and it's not done me proud. But I'm going to play that again. That 1-2-0 Chelsea. Nothing exciting. But that win. One thing I just wanted to raise.
That price, by the way, Chelsea win and under 2.5 goals, 7-2.
Yeah. One thing I loved on the BBC website I was reading this morning. This is a headline that I know you'll like, Derek. I am no angel, says Chelsea's Costa. I love it. Brilliant.
Oh, I'd read that.
Yeah, I'm not going to change either. I think he must be on Football Focus tomorrow because on the BBC website. But yeah, I am no angel, says Chelsea's Costa. All right. We got it all wrong. We thought you were this kind of guy who just was misunderstood. We know you're not an angel. Never changed, Diego.
Yeah, stating the bleeding obvious.
Great goal in midweek in the last game.
Yeah, indeed. You still like him, don't you, Lee?
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
Why? What does he do?
I just like his general demeanour.
he likes the fact that he's he antagonises the opponents. I think.
Well, you could do that, Lee. You antagonise.
I know. I try.
Easily do that. There's no point going on about him again. I just think he's the biggest myth in international football. Oh well, as big a myth as Mario Balotelli. You keep hearing he's got tons of ability and yet never ever shows it. Same with Costa. This game, well, you know, I keep hearing that Chelsea have turned the corner. You know, they're on the way back. Well. They were lucky. They rode the luck to beat Villa last week 2-0. I'm not getting worked up over a clean sheet against Aston Villa. And Dynamo Kiev, well, we don't know. We don't know how good or how moderate they are. The fact remains that Chelsea are 5-6, and right now they're awful. West Ham are 11-4, having their best season ever. It's got to be West Ham for me.
West Ham 11-4 for Derek in that match. Stoke versus Watford is up next. Stoke are 21-20 to win this game. The draw is 21-10. Watford in the market at 13-5. Bojan to score and Stoke to win is 9-2. Odion Ighalo to score and Watford to win 7-1. Those are the two headline offers here. And Derek, Stoke have suddenly hit their stride. They've not been entirely convincing, but they've won the last three in the league, conceding just once in the process. That run sparked by the win at Fulham in the Capital One Cup, and we all know that goals have been hard to come by for Watford.
Yeah, well, you know, if Stoke and Man United, they were getting all sorts of acclaim winning while playing badly. Well, that's exactly what Stoke are doing, you know, and yet they're getting stick. 21-20 to beat Watford. It's not the best of the season, because they had that last week, remember? That one at 3-1, but Stoke will win this, and I can't believe there are odds against. It's a gift from the gods.
21-20, Stoke to win the game, Lee.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? I don't know why they're that price. It's disrespectful, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, Watford are they're a decent side. You know, they've drawn at Bournemouth, they've beaten Newcastle, they lost 2-0 at City, they drew at Everton. So, you know, they're not, you know, they haven't done much wrong, to be fair, so far. And I can see why maybe the traders want to tempt you in a little bit with Stoke, because I think the draw is quite big here.
Yeah.
Because the one thing you've got with Stoke, again, and we're going back to this whole home and away thing, is that they are much more suited to play away from home at the moment. If you give Stoke a team who are going to come on to you and you're going to be able to, you know, keep the ball and play on the counter-attack, they'll love that. Mark Hughes said as much, you know, in his post-match interview on Monday night. Now, you've got a team here at home against a Watford side who may well come and try and shut up shop. Now, can they break them down? I think the traders are trying to get you in the book there and trying to get you to back Stoke and pray it's a draw. That's all I can think of, because they don't deserve to be. You know, as you've both said, the form has been really good. You know, the Bournemouth game, the 2-1 against Bournemouth was the last home game. They before that, they'd drawn 2-2 with Leicester at home, lost to West Brom, lost to Liverpool at home. So it's nothing, you know, there's only one win on the board so far. And that was an 83rd minute winner that Stoke squeaked in against Bournemouth. So it wasn't an easy thing. I'm not going to get sucked in. I'm going to go for the draw at 21-10. I think Watford might frustrate Stoke.
I think if there's one 0-0 on the coupon this weekend, this could be it. 7-1 if you fancy the 0-0 draw in the game. But Derek with Stoke at 21-20 and Lee going with the draw at 21-10. Aston Villa versus Swansea up next. Yeah, this is dire, this one. Aston Villa 2-1, the draw 21-10 and Swansea 13-10. Headline offers: Rudiger Stead to score and Aston Villa to win is 5-1. Andre Ayew to score and Swansea to win 4-1. Lee, according to the prices, according to the prices right now, these two are the most under pressure managers in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Huge move midweek for Gary Monk to be the next Premier League manager to leave his post. Now 2-1 behind Tim Sherwood in the betting, who is 4-7. I mean, this was a guy that was 40-1 on Monday to be next manager to leave. He's now into 2-1, so a lot of cash there, presumably from people in inverted commas in the know. So
it's Ben in our office.
Yeah, he's backed it, hasn't he? He has backed it.
On what morning was it? Was it Wednesday? I don't know what morning it was. I think it might be Wednesday morning, Derek. Ben, one of our bosses, came in and he was like, "Yeah, I've had a bet on Gary Monk to be next one to go, 33s. And all of a sudden, from nowhere after that, the market crashed. We were like, "How much have you had on?" As we well know, about 25 quid moves a market in the manager market.
Well, you're right, Daly. You know what? I've had this idea. I'm sure by revealing it now, someone will pinch it off me. Of, you know, looking at a man, looking at the next manager to go market, and said, look, picking up someone who's like 50-1, and then going into a betting shop, not a Hills one, obviously, a lesser rival, going into a betting shop and having a bet on that at 51, let's just say trying to get £100 on it, and filming it, and then just seeing how the market collapses. Yeah. I've got a sneaking feeling that's exactly what happened with that Gary Monk thing, by the way. Mm. I mean, I'm not saying he's safe, it's just ones have been playing poorly and they haven't won in a long time. But come on, if Tim Sherwood's hanging on to his job after what he's lost 14 of his 22 Premier League games in charge of Villa, I mean, I don't think Monk is in any trouble at all. And when I write the column for the Mirror, and you think you're looking at something to write about, you know, with a betting slant, and that would have been a gift from the gods for me. But I just knew it was baloney. I just could not have that. Mm. So totally ignored it. And I'm sure if they win this game, which I fancy them to do so, come Monday, he'll be about 20-1 again.
You threw in an amazing stat there. Sherwood, 14 of 22 Premier League games is lost in charge of Villa. That's just
diabolical.
It is diabolical. How he's still in the job, I'm not quite sure.
Well, he said himself, yeah, I'm here for the long haul, and then, like, no one else in the club ever said anything.
It's just that was met with complete silence.
Yeah. one thing about this fixture is that you look at this, you look at the home form and the away form, and there's one thing that rings true. Lack of goals. Swansea barely score a goal away from home. They got those two at Stamford Bridge. Since then, they've scored one at Sunderland and one at Southampton. Drew a blank at Watford. Drew a blank at Hull in the League Cup. Villa, similar story here. Scored two against Sunderland at home. Everyone does that. Nothing against Man U. Nothing against West Brom. Nothing against Stoke. Look at the stats. They average 3 shots on target a game, Villa, at home. Swansea, look at their average away from home. Shots on target, they're the third highest, 6.5 shots on target per game. Their goal scoring form is more from lack of good finishing than anything else, I think.
Yeah.
They're having a go here. That's a lot of shots. There's only Arsenal and Man City who average more shots on target away from home in the Premier League. So on the strength of that, I've got to go for Swansea.
Swansea 13-10. If you're looking at under 2.5 goals, it is short. It's 4-7.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, it does look. It, under 2.5 goals looks an absolute banker, which is why it's 4-7. But they never change the under 1.5, do they?
Yeah, 2-1.
2-1, always there or thereabouts, no matter what the game. And that's the bet for me. I mean, yeah, I think Swansea should beat Villa, because I'd back anybody to beat Villa right now. But 13-10 is sure for them, given what I watched from the other night.
Yeah.
They look really poor.
True.
So I'd play safe and go for under 1.5 goals at 2-1. That's a bigger price than Swansea to win, which doesn't make sense to me.
We finish with Bournemouth versus Tottenham. Bournemouth 2-1, the draw 23-10, and Tottenham 6-5. This one on Sunday, 2:05 p.m. Glenn Murray to score and Bournemouth to win is one of the headline offers. That's 6-1. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win in the market at 7-2. Derek, Spurs, the only side to have remained unbeaten following the opening match day fixtures. They've won 3 and drawn 5 since their opening day defeat against Manchester United. If you're looking for a goal scorer from a Bournemouth perspective, Glenn Murray, he's scored 9 in 22 appearances in the Premier League in 2015. He'd only got 1 in 16 Premier League appearances before this year, so he's in form at the moment. I thought Tottenham were a good price here, Derek.
Well, I looked at the Bournemouth price and I thought, how short is that? 2-1 to beat the Tottenham side who nobody's beaten these days, and, well, apart from in Europe. Tottenham 6-5. I backed them an awful lot last season at these kind of odds away from home to opposition that, you know, you come under the heading cannon fodder. I might be being a bit tight on Bournemouth there, but I'm sure as the season pans out, that's exactly what they'll be called. It didn't always pay off, that tactic last season, because Tottenham had a bit of a substandard campaign. But they're doing a lot of things right at the moment. They seem to be getting their act together. They're not playing with the flair of Tottenham sides of old, but they look a tidy, hard-to-break-down outfit. And I think going to Bournemouth will almost certainly come at them. I think it will play right into their hands. And yet, 6-5, it's one of the better bets of the weekend, this one.
No, I agree. 6-5, Spurs to win that game. Bournemouth, we mentioned it on previous podcasts, they're ravaged by injury as well at the moment, and I think that will I think that will curtail their hopes of staying up this season. I really do. Bournemouth in desperate trouble now.
Yeah, the only worry for me from a Tottenham point of view is this whole coming back from Europe thing. You know, it seldom kind of does them any good. You know?
Yeah.
You look at the 2-2 draw away at Swansea now, you know. All right. At the time, Swansea were like quite, you know, everyone was thinking, oh yeah, Swansea, decent side. Then that form seems to have have been devalued somewhat since that 2-2 draw with Tottenham. So I'm a little bit worried about that. They never kind of fill me full of confidence. They beat Palace by a single goal to nil after beating Karabag. That was at home at White Hart Lane, though. So this is it's an away trip on a Thursday night. I don't think they ever quite got to grips with how to do that. So that's my main worry here. A bit of a head scratcher this, because Tottenham at 6-5, everyone should back that really, because they're a better team than Bournemouth. But there's something about it. I'm going to go for an under 2.5 goals bet here. I think it'll be a pretty tame match, especially in the first half. I think it'll be a quiet one. I wouldn't even mind backing the 0-0 in the first half here. I know I've had my fingers burnt with low goals in first halves of Bournemouth games recently, I'm nothing if not an idiot. So I'll go in on again under 2.5 in the match, but I'll go for under 0.5 in the first half as well.
Under 2.5 goals in the market at 4-5 here with William Hill. If you fancy under half a goal in the first half. So basically the first half to end 0-0, 2-1.
Jeez.
2-1 on that particular market.
That's not my nap.
No, that's not your nap. What is your nap, Lee? What's your best bet this weekend?
I'm stuck between a Palace win and a Kevin De Bruyne goal. The Palace win is 2-1 and De Bruyne is 19-10. I'll go with De Bruyne.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's more reliable than Palace.
Yeah,
he's world class. Yeah, I wouldn't say Palace are.
No, Palace aren't world class.
I absolutely love that Vardy to score and Palace to win 11-1. I think that's
price,
a beautiful. I'd love to nap that, but
you know what? I'm tempted by that.
I know. You just can't nap that. You can't nap that.
No,
can you?
No, you can't really. You can't.
It's not in the spirit of the nap.
I can't nap it. No. I'll have to go. I mean, normally there's one match that leaps out. I mean, I think Stoke are good things at home to Watford, obviously. But 21-20, I normally like bigger prices than that. I'm going to go in the Aston Villa Swansea game under 1.5 goals at 2-1.
Okay, under 1.5 goals at 2-1 in the game between Aston Villa and Swansea for Derek. That goes with Kevin De Bruyne to score any time for Manchester City against Manchester United. And I'm going with Spurs at 6-5 to beat Bournemouth. I think they'll win this weekend. So Tottenham goes in there at 6-5. So Kevin De Bruyne, 19-10 to score any time. Under 1.5 goals, 2-1 in the Aston Villa Swansea game, with Tottenham at 6-5 to beat Bournemouth. 18.14-1 is the treble. It's got a chance, I think.
Yeah, very good chance. Yeah. Very good chance.
Derek, thank you for your company.
Cheers, lad. Speak to you soon.
Thank you, Mr. Fell.
Cheers, DK. Thanks, Derek.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the podcast as well. Remember, you can download this at audioboom.com. Check us out on iTunes as well. And you can access all the podcasts online at williamhill.com/podcast. Myself, Lee, and Derek will be back next week. And if you're having a bet, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.